The rest of the story. Mike was 14. He could not believe what he saw. Little Leslie, age 6, had become a child skeleton. Her complexion had grown sickly and sallow, except for the black encircling her sunken eyes. Her hair, even her eyelashes, reacting to the medicine doctors had hoped would save her, had fallen out. There in a private room in a Seattle children's hospital lay this shadow of a little girl. And but for the bravery expected of teenage boys, Mike, gazing down at Leslie, would have wept aloud. Instead, stifling his tears, Mike looked away. There was a window in the hospital room through which nurses in the corridor could observe the patient. Actual visitors were permitted one at a time, and then only in hospital gown and mask. Mike looked back at Leslie. She had been through so much. Aplastic anemia, followed by an apparently unsuccessful bone marrow transplant, fluid suffocating the heart and liver, pneumonia with a fever of 105, and finally, understandably, unconsolable depression. And now here she was, her face bleak from exhaustion, scarcely a chance for survival. The doctors had done everything they could. What could Mike possibly do beyond that? There was a sofa in Leslie's hospital room. Mike took the little girl's hand and asked if she would come sit with him there. And she did. And for a long time they just looked at each other, saying nothing. Leslie's gaunt little face was expressionless, but her gaze searched for some glimmer of hope in Mike's eyes. And at last Mike spoke, and he chose his word carefully. He measured them deliberately. This is a 14-year-old boy speaking, mind you. He said, "I want you to get better for me." The little girl nodded, trying to smile. "I mean it," repeated Mike. "I want you to get better for me." And then he reached out and took the child's hand, and leaning down, kissed her hand, and moments later he was gone. But Leslie then and there made a silent promise to herself and to Mike. She would get better. She would get well. And she did. She did. It was shortly thereafter that the youngster's enlarged heart returned to its normal size. One by one, the symptoms of the dreadful disease which had almost claimed her life began to disappear. Her doctors, amazed, agreed that it was a teenage boy's visit that had made the difference. Little Leslie had conquered that which had nearly conquered her. For the love of Mike. 11 years later, Leslie and Mike were reunited. She a healthy, happy 17, and he on the verge of 26. Leslie had brought Mike a birthday card. Mike grinned, placed the card gently on a table, clasped both of her hands. The two trembled as they stared at each other. "I'm glad," he started to say, but the thought stuck in his throat. This time, however, the tears could not be suppressed, and they glistened in Mike's eyes as he kissed Leslie goodbye. Now, most likely you never knew any of this. No one ever sought to exploit the touching story for its publicity value, and yet it's good to know that there are still good guys around, and there's still hope in the world that miracles happen, if only one at a time, and that from one human being to another, there really is such a thing as a magic touch. At least Leslie Robinette will never forget, and I hope now neither will you. For the young man who made the magic happen, for a small sick child a dozen years ago, a total stranger responding to beseeching parents, the 14-year-old boy who came into that hospital room, Mike, was the now world-renowned singer Michael Jackson. And now you know the rest of the story.